A lot of plastic waste in our oceans is easily visible. Plastic bags, cool drink bottles, netting. But there's a lot more there that we just can't see. How much exactly? Well, that's something a group of Australian researchers is hoping to find out. And they want your help to do it as well. Dr. Michelle Blewett heads up the Australian Microplastic Assessment Project. She's in Fremantle at the moment, helping train people to be part of this project. Good morning to you, Michelle. Before we start talking about OSMAP, can you explain to us what microplastic actually is?
Sure. Good morning. Thank you for having me. Microplastic comes in different sorts. What we are looking at, in fact, is the 1 to 5 millimetre size range. So microplastic itself comes in two different forms. One lot is basically the breakup of other items, such as lids and bottles and plastic items that have been left in the environment. They break up into smaller and smaller pieces. They're what we call secondary microplastics. And primary microplastics is what we call nurdles or resin pellets, which is basically the base of plastic. When it's first initially made, it gets made into these round little balls that are also referred to as mermaid tears. That's what we call primary microplastics in our environment.
And so you're looking for the 1 to 5 millimetre, so that's quite big, I mean half a centimetre, so they're actually quite sizeable chunks of plastic.
Yes, what we are looking at is that size. It comes, as I said, it breaks up over time smaller and smaller, but our program is actually a citizen science project. So it's basically engaging community and local school kids to look for these types of microplastics. So we need something that they can actually see when they're out there in the environment as well.
So are you educating the educators at the moment and then they'll take this away to the citizens of Western Australia to educate us all?
Yes, that is correct. So what we run is we do training programs. So we train leaders. We train the community. We train local state government. We train a non-for-profit group in running our program so that they learn the method that we have, that we've designed, that we know is rigorous, that we can quantify or count the number of microplastics in these different areas, and then they're able to take that back to their local communities, their local waterways, whether it's a beach, a river, a watering hole, whatever it might be, and use this method to quantify microplastics there as well.
Can you teach us a little bit about it? Is there something that we could be looking for that you could teach us over the wireless this morning?
Yes, I mean, microplastic itself, once you get your eye in, and it tends to be gets deposited over time, and so that debris line. So up big high tide, you'll find that like seagrass and kelp gets pushed up the beach. And you can see sometimes when you're walking along the beach, you might see a quite significant line of where the last high tide has pushed that. And that's called the strand line. And along that strand line, if you move the seaweed around, I mean, more often than not, you'll see it quite evidently, like polystyrene foam balls or bits of broken up lids and obviously cigarette butts. I mean, that's big stuff. That's what we call macro debris or stuff that you can see quite visibly. But if you look even closer, you will look in amongst the seaweed and the kelp that's left there, and you can find small pieces of microplastic, and that's the stuff that we're very interested in.
There was a news report or something. I heard something a couple of weeks ago that said, in a week, just digesting water, you could swallow about a credit card worth of plastic. Is that possible?
Yes, that is correct. That's working with our partners actually from the University of Newcastle in New South Wales. So what it is that yes, in everyday life, we're surrounded by plastic. We use it all the time. I mean, plastic was made to be durable. It was made to last. But everything around us these days, from the clothing that we wear, from the carpet in our houses, to the things that surround us are made of plastic. And not only that, but they're now finding that plastic is in bottled water, which we don't need to do because our water is perfectly safe and healthy coming from the tap. But even in beer, there has been found to be microplastic. And so through a number of studies that they've looked at, they have calculated out that we're estimating consuming between 5 and 8 milligrams of microplastic every single week. That is equivalent to the size and weight of a credit card. So that's pretty scary.
That's horrible.
It's pretty horrible, yes.
So we should be asking people to stop throwing plastic into our waterways. That's one, and I think we're getting better and better at that. But
we are. Yes.
What can we do to actually clean this stuff up?
Well, that's a very difficult thing because obviously what's out there. So the plastic in our oceans comes from, or the plastic on it near our waterways comes from two main sources. One is obviously the stuff that's just been chucked down by people on the ground, irresponsible people that can't be bothered finding a bin or it's inconvenient for them. But it's also a lot of that plastic, so the stuff that's already out there in the ocean has come from us, clearly. Also, if you live in an urbanised area or close to waterways like in stormwater drains and et cetera, this stuff is coming down our waterways such as that. So it can be everything from tyre dust. So it's our tyres these days are made of synthetic rubber, of plastic, synthetic rubber. And when we use our cars, that tyre dust can actually come off of our tyres and it just gets washed down the drain. And that contributes to the problem. Also, when in plastic manufacturing companies, that the stuff that they use, these nurdles, these microplastic resin pellets that I explained earlier, they can get washed down drains. And then they go into our waterways, into our stormwater drains, and it goes out to sea. So what's out there now, so what we need to try and do, and that's what OzMap is all about as well, is trying to stop it at the source. So we're working with companies, with filtration companies, stormwater drain companies, things like that, to be able to install in some areas that we've identified as hotspots around Australia. We're able to put in these filtration traps to try and stop it before it actually enters our waterways. And that's what we're trying to work with OzMap, with mapping microplastic hotspots around Australia.
Are there any of those in WA, or are you expecting to find any hotspots?
We haven't found any just yet, but we've only just come into Western Australia. We're actually here for the week. We're currently at the Australian Marine Science Conference that's being held at the Esplanade in Fremantle. We run a couple of training days this week, and we're using the citizens of Western Australia to be able to roll out our program across hopefully the state, moving up north probably later in the year, where they'll be learning about the program, and then we can map these hotspots. However, some of the stuff also that's there that's landing on the beaches over here, particularly in more isolated areas, we're working, for example, with a professor down in Albany, Dr. Harriet Patterson, as well. And what we're finding is some of those myrtles are landing on the beaches from other countries. There was a large spill over in South Africa a couple of years ago, and because of the currents and the sea state, they're making landfall down in these areas. So trying to identify and using our program, we can quantify what lands on our beaches from other areas.
Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle Blewett, for educating us and being here this week. We appreciate that. From the Australian Microplastic Assessment Project, I hope you enjoyed that.